Radio Prague News.
The government approves security plans for soft terror targets. Paid leave is in line for new fathers, and strong growth is seen for the Czech economy. The government on Wednesday backed a three-year Ministry of Interior plan setting out how best to protect and react to possible terrorist attacks on so-called soft targets. The plan calls for a public campaign to tell people how to react and possible training of selected workers. Steps should also be taken at some possible targets such as shopping and sports centres and tourist sites to prepare for attacks and how to limit casualties, for example, from follow-up attacks. The report to the government warns that it appears that terrorists will increasingly target soft targets characterised by high concentrations of people. Fathers will be entitled to a week's paid leave under a health insurance amendment backed in the Upper House of Parliament, the Senate, on Wednesday. Fathers will be able to take the week within 6 weeks following the birth of a child, with 70% of the normal wages being paid. Government ministers say the move should encourage fathers to be more involved in the raising of their offspring. The move, which now needs only the signature of the President to become law, was backed by 58 out of 77 lawmakers present. Around 100,000 Czechs are born every year. The Czech economy should grow on average by around 2.7% in the coming years, but slow down to annual growth of 2.4% in 2020, according to a collection of forecasts collected and released by the Ministry of Finance. Specifically, economic growth is seen at 2.6% this year, rising to 2.7% in 2018 and falling back to 2.6% in 2019. The forecast sees the Czech crown strengthening to around 25 crowns to a euro, and the main drivers of growth should be domestic demand and public spending. A proposal from Minister of Finance and ANO leader Andrej Babiš to tax the earnings of one-crown bonds issued by private companies was agreed by the government. The proposal was put forward by Babiš as a member of parliament in the lower house. The move would in theory introduce taxes on the bonds from the start of next year. Prime Minister Sobotka has, though, cast doubt on whether the legislative steps can be taken before lower house elections in October. Babiš got into trouble for alleged tax dodging when it was revealed that he was the sole buyer of such tax-free bonds, which were issued by his company Agrofert in 2012. Average prices demanded for new flats in the capital Prague have risen by 21.2% in February compared with the situation a year earlier, according to a survey by the consultancy Deloitte. The average price per square metre has climbed to 88,500 crowns amid a severe shortage of new built flats. The offer of new flats has fallen by around 40% over the last 2 years. Prices for new flats are estimated to have climbed by around a third since the start of 2014. And finally, a look at the weather. The weather on Thursday will be cloudy, but with sunny spells, especially in the north of the country. Top daytime temperatures will range between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Azarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Prime Minister vows to put pressure on foreign companies in the Czech Republic to raise wages. Uber is banned from operating in Brno, and the Czech tourism sector seeks room and directions for greater success. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has vowed to work on increasing wages, a key campaign theme for his Social Democrats ahead of the autumn general elections. The Prime Minister said he planned to exert pressure on foreign companies in the country to increase their employees' salaries. The government has already raised the minimum wage several times, but salaries in the country are still seen as generally lower than what might have been expected 27 years after the fall of communism. Jan Wellinger spoke to Chief Economist at Patria Finance, Jan Bureš, about wages in the Czech Republic and where they stand at present.
Generally speaking, it seems that in comparison with Western European countries, the wages are still comparably low. So we are at around one-third, roughly one-third in comparison with the average German level. In terms of productivity, especially in tradable goods sectors, we are much higher. So in that respect, it can be said it's a kind of a strange situation that there was not such a big catch-up in wages compared with the productivity. On the other side, it's not automatic process.
And when you talk about productivity, productivity is often referred, in at least in some sectors, to being about 60%, but the wages generally don't reflect even that, do they?
Yeah, the wages usually do not reflect that, but the wages usually respect the wage level within the whole economy. And there are other sectors that have like historically lower wages, historically lower productivity either, or due to institutional settings, the wage level respects not only the productivity development, but the overall wage level in the whole economy, as well as the institutional setting for the wage negotiations. And here, what's important to stress that the position of the Czech labor unions, I would not consider that to be a weak position, but it's comparably weaker than in several Western European industries.
Mm-hmm. My final question has to do with the Prime Minister focusing on foreign owners of Czech businesses, which he's charged that that the wages there are low, unnecessarily low. Is there much that the government can do when it comes to the private sector in terms of pressure?
I rather believe the right way is to support medium and small enterprises, which are more innovative and can potentially have even global ambitions. And if we want to reach higher wage level, I think the good way forward is to look at the small and medium-term enterprises in Germany or in Denmark, where this segment of the economy is really competitive and can pay really well its employees compared to rather big multinational companies. But I would not see the solution of the problem in the pressure on these big companies, either multinationals or Czech-owned even, which I think basically will never be so innovative and so willing to increase wages in a good time.
Right. There are firms, I guess, that will always try to take advantage of lower labor costs if they can.
Definitely.
Chief Economist at Patria Finance, Jan Bureš, speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger. Moving on now, a Brno court has issued a preliminary injunction on Uber, arguing that it should behave like a regular taxi firm. The company has also come under legal pressure in Prague, where it has been a major hit. But representatives say Uber is confident of continuing its operations in both cities. Ian Willoughby reports.
Uber entered the Czech market in 2014. 3 years later, the company, which characterizes its services as carpooling, says it has 100,000 users in Prague. The US app-based firm only began operations in Brno this February. But even before Uber got up and running in the country's second city, local traditional taxi firms were up in arms. On Tuesday, the Brno Regional Court upheld a complaint from the company Lido Taxi Radio, issuing a preliminary injunction against Uber. Judges said it won't be allowed to operate as long as its drivers don't possess a taxi permit. In addition, its cars must be marked as taxis and feature a taximeter. Local officials also oppose Uber, and Brno City Hall joined Lido Taxi Radio's legal move. Mathieu Holland, councillor for transport, explains why. Uber isn't paid carpooling or part of the sharing economy. It's just a classic taxi service that breaches virtually all the legal provisions and Brno decrees. It's breaking the law in a huge way. What Uber does is a regular taxi service, and as long as we have laws that apply to taxis, then Uber must adhere to them. Uber's cars are still in action in Brno and will remain so until the court decision is officially delivered to company officials. However, spokesperson Miroslava Jozova says Uber is already planning its next course of action.
We will appeal this decision. That's the next step that we're going to do. And we believe that we have strong grounds for a successful appeal.
Well, Prague is, I'm sure, a much more important market than Brno for Uber. Officials here also are saying they want to curb the activities of Uber. I presume you're also concerned that something similar may happen here.
No, actually not, because the court decision decided last year that partner drivers basically don't do anything illegal. And the taxi companies, they asked for a preliminary injunction in Prague too last year. And the decision of the court stated that they won't be such restriction for Prague.
But aren't there some fresh moves? I've been reading that the mayor, Krnáčová, is planning to take more action against Uber.
Yeah, they appealed. They appealed this decision in Prague. But honestly, we strongly believe that there are no grounds that this court decision could be changed or could be any different.
Uber spokesperson Miroslava Jozová ending that report by Ian Willoughby. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. The Czech tourism sector has something to celebrate following the announcement last week of record incoming visitors for 2016. But all is not rosy in the sector, with some arguing that more could be done to promote tourism and others saying that established businesses playing by the rules are being undermined by those, especially in the so-called new economy, who are flouting them and undermining fair competition. Chris Johnson has more in this week's edition of Marketplace.
The title of a discussion this week organised by the Czech Chamber of Commerce was along the lines of Czech tourism in crisis or preparing for still better days. The word crisis probably was a bit jarring for most of the audience and participants, given the fact that the sector has just announced record incoming visitor figures for last year. And that was the argument put forward by the Minister for Regional Development, Karla Šlechtová. The Regional Development Ministry has the main responsibility for setting out tourism strategy.
Incoming tourism is growing. It's growing from every state. The annual average is of 7%. For the last 9 quarters, the total has been rising without interruption and is not going down. This is very positive as regards the number of tourists coming to the Czech Republic, the amounts they are spending, the number of nights they are staying, and everything like that.
Actually, the latest figures of 31.1 million foreign visitors last year did have some downsides. There were more day trippers making up that number, meaning that they did not spend the night and spend a good chunk of their foreign currency. Broken down, it worked out that 12.2 million stayed the night, 16.2 million were on day visits, and 2.6 million were just passing through, perhaps tanking up on some petrol or something to eat at the most. And there's a frequent bugbear that Prague, second city Brno, Český Krumlov and the spa destinations of Karlovy Vary and Mariánské Lázně are getting most of the visitors and incoming income, while many other towns and cities are just getting the crumbs from the tourism table. Minister of Culture Daniel Herman suggested the Czech Republic is now beginning to cash in on its greatest asset, its cultural heritage and legacy. And he quoted a predecessor in the post, Pavel Tigrid, who described those cultural treasures as the Czech equivalent of the Côte d'Azur or the Costa del Sol.
In spite of the fact that we don't have any sea, monuments are our sea. The great wealth of heritage that we have is without comparison. In France, Switzerland, and other countries, there are various specific monuments, but they are not in any way equipped or have the same sort of interiors as our ones. The Czech Republic is truly an exceptional place, and the monuments are a magnet to people from around the world.
The minister brushed off any suggestions of crisis. If this was a crisis, there should be more of it, he quipped.
What we are seeing are challenges, but they are good ones. We are living in great times with things getting better, as has been mentioned, the number of foreign tourists rising. More than 30 million people came here last year. With regard to cultural monuments, the number of visitors was 5.5 million. Since my time as a minister, that is 2014, the number of visitors to cultural monuments in the care of the National Heritage Institute has gone up by 1.5 million people.
Challenges indeed. Some of these include the current difficulty of employing people in the sector. One that, it should be mentioned, is renowned for its relatively low wages and poor conditions. The difficulty of getting employees with a wide range of language skills that might make them able to deal with guests in their own language. And the fact that the services many tourists might be looking for are still absent outside many of the tourist hotspots. Although these are the sort of jobs that would be most welcome in many parts of the country. And then there's the question of how quickly rules will be introduced at a local or national level to stop some parts of the new economy, such as those offering accommodation on Airbnb, from undercutting traditional tax and fee-paying businesses. And it was not all backpatting and congratulations. For one thing, the tourism sector is facing the fact that for the ongoing period from 2014 to 2020, it can look forward to no, that's absolutely zero, European funds for tourism development in the country. In the previous period, the total was a whopping 54 billion crowns. True, there is still a smattering of European money now, but that's relatively small change, and just for border areas. The Ministry of Regional Development is trying to do its bit to cushion the European shortfall in funding by coming up with 600 million crowns of its own for the tourism sector. Half of that has already been spent. One of the main targets of this funding is to encourage local councils and regions to dip into their own pockets as well and supplement the funds being offered by the ministry. At the same time, the ministry is also trying to chart how much is currently being spent on tourism development by regional councils, with a top ministry official already hinting that there are very big disparities indeed in spending. What the ministry would also like to see is the merging of the currently separate Czech accommodation and spa taxes into one overall payment and encouragement for local councils to pour back tourism earnings into the sector again. Here again, though, the ministry insists that it can only push and encourage but cannot tell local and regional authorities what to do. The multitude of actors in the Czech tourism sector is a fact admitted by all. To spell it out in part, there's the main ministry and others such as culture, environment and agriculture. Even the foreign ministry has a determining role in determining the visa policies for visitors, and the difficulty of getting visas for Russian, Chinese and even US citizens is one ongoing gripe in the tourism sector. There are state agencies such as Czech Tourism, and there are the regional governments, local councils and town councils. And one argument for an all-embracing new law on tourism is that it could attempt to set some order to this system. And that's one policy that Minister Slechtová is not, however, pursuing at the moment, although it's an evergreen demand of the Czech Chamber of Commerce and Tourism, the biggest group representing the sector. And the failure of the Regional Development Ministry to give more of a lead or for a wider shake-up that would give more tourism powers to regional councils is highlighted by Czech member of the Lower House for the Topo 9 party and former tourism sector manager Kristina Zelenková. She argues that the ministry has done little by itself to contribute to the boost in the latest tourism figures.
I see no progress in tourism in any kind of way. You know, if we are talking about growing numbers, it's not because of the work of the ministry. You know, it's because the economy is changing and it's automatic, you know, growth. But there is nothing what would be done by ministry.
Zelenková says tourism, in spite of contributing more to the economy than agriculture and employing many more people, an estimated 5% of the population directly in travel and tourism, and maybe up to 10% if the indirect jobs are added, is still a Cinderella sector with no ministry of its own and a lack of overall coordination in spite of its future growth prospects.
First of all, it's important to say that the tourism in Czech Republic is always like a little sister, I would say, of the other parts of industry. And it's important to pay more attention to tourism because I see huge potential in tourism in Czech Republic. We are talking now about 3 8% of GDP of the potential of the tourism in Czech Republic, but I think that the potential might go up to 10%.
She believes that Czech tourism could benefit if it borrowed a page out of the Austrian tourism textbook, where regional governments are given more power to develop tourism policy and funds are taken out of the sector in the form of local taxes are automatically poured back into it again.
There is a little difference between Czech administration and Austrian administration because we have our regional governments and the Austrian regional governments, they have their own possibility to make laws. We don't have it this way. It's only Czech government which can make laws. That's why Czech government should prepare some kind of framework for tourism and to set exact rules how the tourism should work and describe in this law the competences of each level. But it's also kind of frame for the flow of money, you know, because it's very important to support small businessmen or small projects in regions, in little villages, where we want to focus at this moment.
Czech MP Kristýna Zelenková ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And I'm afraid it brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, send a mail to english@radio.cz. And you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.